During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Showed up ready to go. You can see that he's already progressing multiple innings. Yesterday was just another great outing for Duff. He's throwing the ball well. He feels strong. And, you know, I put a lot of weight on that position of being the guy that throws that first game. And, you know, it is just one game really in the bigger picture. But Danny has all those attributes, has the success, has the longevity to set the tone. And so we're pushing him to embrace that role. And his stuff absolutely lends itself to be in that conversation for him taking the ball that first day and helping us get off to a great start.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol. It's opening day on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, July 24, 2020. That was Mike Matheny talking about his opening day starter, his opening night starter, Danny Duffy, tonight on the mound in Cleveland against the Indians. And right now we have Mike McFarland joining us, who talks baseball with us every week. Hello, Mac. How are you?
I'm doing great against the Cleveland soon-to-be mascot changed, whatever they're going to be. Just really looking forward to live actual baseball on Field 9 on a very nice spring training complex, because I watched the games last night and the music and everything, it didn't do it for me. I'm sorry. The crack of the bat was good. They had a little bit of a delay to voice some of the things out, but hey, it was just good watching baseball, but the aesthetics are going to be hard to get used to.
All right, before we get into more about tonight and more about the season returning, I tweeted out a beautiful picture of you to promote your appearance on the Border Patrol, and this
is
a picture.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a conversation about your hair here in a moment. You can look at SSJWHB. This is a beautiful picture of you wearing a suit with a nice head of hair as you were honored as the Jack A. O'Keefe Memorial Award 1982 winner. Mike McFarland, a former Lincoln High School baseball player, has been chosen as the O'Keefe Memorial Award winner, given every year to one of the Athlete of the Month winners. And you were selected from athletes who competed in the San Joaquin County. So congratulations, a little bit late on this. You were MVP on the Lincoln team. You hit 422, Mac. 370 in the league. I got all your numbers right here. But let's talk I Google, man. I work Google well, and I can just tell you a tremendous head of hair on your head.
And
guys, will you look at this?
That was my next point. Now you know why I never had a date in high school.
I would imagine the ladies would have been lining up, run their fingers through that hair. Jake, you love hair more than anyone because I don't have any, and Nate just, Nate's a hair guy, but look at that hair.
Mac.
Try to describe what I'm looking at right now,
Jake. Is that photoshopped? That's fantastic.
They called me Oscar Gamble for a reason.
I see that. Yeah, man.
Let me put it to you. I would put my skull cap on, my catcher's hat, and there would still be Bozo the Clown hair sticking out the side. And I'm like, Mom, what the hell? Why did you never let me get my hair cut? Oh, I just loved your curly hair. It's not a curly, Ma. It's a fro. It's look at it.
You're a dead ringer for Oscar Gamble.
You didn't need to wear a helmet, really, to be honest with you. So my only question is that just natural Mike McFarland hair? Was there any product in there? Did you hairspray? Was there mousse? Did you do something? Or was that just it, man?
That was it. I did have a pick in the back pocket for a while.
Yeah.
To no avail. Still single for prom.
Dude, I'm not buying that for one second. Chicks dig that.
Nope.
Absolutely.
Nope.
No way.
Nope. And then I get to college, meet my wife on the very first day of college, and then I'm there with a bunch of seniors, and then they had shirts made up with the nicknames of nicknames of the teammates and everything, and let's just say mine was not very very kind with the nickname on the back of my shirt that I never wore.
Steven, how do you find that?
Seven different directions with that one, and just understand what part of the anatomy they're talking about with my hair.
Yeah.
We have Mike McFarland on the line.
You can call him Curly.
You heard Mike Matheny. You heard Mike Matheny talking about Danny Duffy as his opening night starter. Look, the rotation is not anywhere near full strength, and we don't know how good it would have been or it will be when it is full strength. But you get Danny Duffy tonight, and then we get to watch Brady Singer tomorrow, and I just can't wait for that. Let's start with Duffy. He's the opening night starter. What do you expect from Danny Duffy, not only tonight, but in this 60-game season?
Health, hopefully. Until you get Keller and Junis back, he is the horse. He has to go out and set the tempo, especially when you have a rookie coming up behind you. Now, granted, the kid's got a way about him, carries himself well, but we know that you need someone in the front of that rotation to do it. And Danny's done it. He's pitched well. In these situations, it is what it is. He has to be the number one and be the leader to go out and set the tempo. I'm just excited to watch them all play and get them back out there and see what happens. It's going to be that sprint we talked about, and Singer's going to get his chance to settle in. It's going to be different not pitching in front of 40,000 fans there at the Jake or whatever the heck it's called now, but it's just the atmosphere that the kids are going to miss for their first time being on an opening day roster. But Danny Duffy's the guy you got to go to tonight.
All right, so, Mac, what are we expecting from Singer tomorrow? I think we're all very excited to see him pitch. What are you looking for?
Well, I would say, let him battle through the nerves, but he's going to be pitching in a mausoleum, for crying out loud, unless they have a thousand cardboard cutout people back there and pumped in music and stuff. But it's going to be no different than one of the games and things that they've been doing here the last few weeks at the practices. It's going to be a dead atmosphere. I think it might help him to calm his nerves and just go out and let things happen, because he's not going to have 30,000-40,000 screaming fans at him at Cleveland Field, knowing that he's a rookie and they're trying to rouse him. So I think it'd be a beneficial start for him to get out there and just calm his nerves from the pure adrenaline of knowing that he's pitching in a Major League Baseball game, but he's not going to have the fans ragging on him and getting on him for every wild pitch or missed location or base hit, which is going to help him kind of settle the nerves and settle into a groove, hopefully.
Mike McFarland is our guest. Mac, we talked a lot about the expanded playoffs. And look, this is a 60-game season. Things are going to be wild. Let's do it. And selfishly, anything that improves the Royals' chances of making the postseason this year, I'm for it. And I just like the idea of being bold and trying to make this unique season even more exciting. And that's what it's going to be. But I know there's a lot of baseball people that are against it. What was your reaction when you saw the whole plan for the expanded playoffs that was okayed yesterday?
Tell them to get over themselves. It's fantastic. I mean,
yes!
It's going to be so much fun coming down to the end of the wire when there's so many teams that have a chance to get into the playoffs, too. I want the Royals to make it so bad so that Mr. Sherman can recoup some of the money that he shelled out buying the damn team. Get something so it just kind of offsets everything a little bit. And three, I don't care how you spin it, it's a weird year. Understand that, people. Get over it. You got a DH in the NL. Probably ain't going to go back to it. You got expanded playoffs. Probably going to go back to regular things. This is a wild card. Have some fun with it, Steven. That's why we talked about miking up some of the players. Pipe in the music. Pipe in the noise. Do what you have to do, and hopefully at some point late on in the season, maybe there's some downturns in COVID, and we can get some fans in there. But understand it is what it is. Throw everything against the wall and see if it sticks, and everyone stays well, everyone stays healthy, because it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun come the end of the season watching these guys go at it, make those late trades, And by the way, no one's going to try and tank.
Oh, I love it, Mac, and I'm with you. I love the idea of just trying stuff. This is a perfect year. You got a free license to try some things and see if we can find some advancements that make baseball more popular. I want to get into the Royals roster a little bit and what you think is some of the things we can look forward to with the team playing. And with Hunter Dozier getting, you know, the positive COVID test, he's going to be out for a while, which opens up some things in the outfield a little bit. Bubba Starling's been playing really well in this preseason, and, you know, we got Franchy Cordero now. How would you like to see them rotate those guys, and what do you think of this preseason that Bubba Starling's had? Is that, I mean, we don't take spring training numbers too seriously, but what can we make from what he's done so far in July?
Oh, I'm just ecstatic for the kid. He's got a couple cookies, and he's put them where they should be. You know, it's just been much better at bat. He has matured to a point where he's much more comfortable who and what he is. Plus, he's worked his butt off. It's going to be a great opportunity for Bubba. I'm so happy that he's going to be out there, and I hope they put him out there each and every day, because that's a guy that can change the game with the swing of the bat when you come down to all the other possibilities in that outfield. Plus, he's got the speed and the arm. Yes, it is a bland atmosphere, and everything is allowed to be a lot calmer from a nerve standpoint, but still, it's a major league game. Bubba's been doing fantastic. I'm just looking forward to watching some of these kids, and like you said, Singer getting his first start. There are so many things to be appreciative, one, that you're being able to watch the game again, and two, just go out and check out some of the future potential stars for this team and start seeing the foundation that's being built for the future when they can be that consistent winning ball club like I think, you know, Dayton's plan is.
It's going to be interesting, like Nate said, to see how they work this with, clearly Whit Merrifield and Alex Gordon will be in the lineup. Dozier would have been a regular, but now he's on the IL. But you've got, you know, Soler, who'll be at DH, but the new acquisition of Franchy Cordero, who J.J. Piccolo just raved about in his power potential. And so let me go there, because he made some comments that were interesting. I don't think he was really comparing their skill set, but he made the comparison to how they approached Lorenzo Cain from a physical standpoint, and a guy that had injury issues and really hadn't tapped in to his athletic ability, and they put him on a program, and he made that comparison to Franchy Cordero, a guy that they think can play center field, that has not been able to stay healthy, but they think when they can get their hands on him, they can reach that untapped potential the way they did with Lorenzo Cain, even though they're different players. That's kind of exciting to hear J.J. Piccolo so excited about him, because giving up Tim Hill, I get it, they liked him as a reliever, but if you can get a promising young power arm the way they did with Bolaños, who made the roster, and then a guy with some power upside, you make that trade all day long, every day, right, Mac?
100% agreed. And the Royals are fantastic at identifying undervalued potential future damn good ball players, I guess is the best way to put it. And I'd let the kid get some work in, but for me right now, I got to give Bubba the chance each and every day while Hunter's out, and then get him back into the mix, when Hunter does come back, because you need Hunter's proven bat in there. But see what you got out of those two kids while you have the opportunity, because like I said, this is the year, Nate, that we do everything and throw everything and mix everything up, because you can just continue to work and work and work to make your team better when hopefully all this is done in 2021 and you're back to normal season.
What do you think about Matt Harvey being a factor for this team this year, Mac? I mean, what do you expect there?
Well, I'm just very appreciative of Matt Harvey when he was with the Mets, and you know, I'm glad that we're giving him an opportunity to come back. But you know what? Again, another reclamation project. I don't know if he was 100% healthy last year, but I know that he got beat up quite a bit. But you know, it's another dimension that you can add with some of these younger pitchers, that you look at a successful pitcher, a veteran pitcher, who has had a tremendous amount of success, to come in and be that leadership guy. And, oh, by the way, maybe he does put together 5-6 good starts or you know, 6 or 7 relief outings where he comes in and deals. Those are the things that you look at, especially when you have the opportunity to keep the roster large and move bits and pieces up and down on that thing. So why not take a gamble, especially if the Royals have scouted him and he seems to be doing well and is much healthier this year.
We have our man Mike McFarland on the line right now. And Mac, we talked about the outfield situation, but the infield is really going to be interesting because O'Hearn's not available, and so you have Ryan McBroom, who the Royals acquired late last year from the Yankees organization. He was kind of looked upon as a 4A player who put up good numbers at AAA but hasn't had a chance to do it at the major league level, so he gets his chance. You got Nicky Lopez, hopefully in his second year, and J.J. Piccolo said he's going to be better physically and more ready. And then you've got Adalberto Mondesi with all the potential in the world. And look, I like this kid Franco that they signed from the Phillies, because that's one of the guys that names I threw out there at the beginning of free agency that I'd like to see the Royals maybe take a chance on a 1-year deal and see if he can if maybe he can come through on some of the promise that he showed with the Phillies. So what do you think of the infield situation the way it sits right now on opening day?
Interesting. I think there's some moving parts there. I think you might see the rotation move around a little, but you also got to understand Mondesi has to stay healthy. If he goes down, everything's out the window, in my opinion. So basically you got Salvi, brand new player behind the plate. You got Mondesi at short. Nicky Lopez, yes, much better physique on him, much better training regimen, much better everything. Fit, mix and match there at first base. Give Salvi a game or two on at first base to save his legs, and just go. Again, it's going to be a situation where you're going to have a lot of moving parts in there, and quite honestly, in my opinion, in a 60-game schedule, I got to go with the hot hand. Who's swinging it the best? I'm putting them in there every day until things turn the other direction, and that's how you have to do it, especially when you have a great opportunity to with the expanded playoffs to make it. And I think you'll see that if it comes to a point where it's like, okay, we're falling farther and farther out, then we have a chance to get into a situation that we do play those younger players and start to potentially look to move some pieces.
And Mondesi's got to stay healthy. I mean, I think he'll be. We all agree he'll be productive if he's available. To what level, I'm not quite sure, but he's got such an exciting skill set, but doesn't mean anything if he can't stay on the field. In a 60-game season, he needs to go out there and deliver and stay healthy and stay on the field so the Royals can – and they may not even fully know after 60 games, but they can feel a hell of a lot better about him moving forward if he can stay healthy and play every day.
No, absolutely, and he has to, and I think he knows that. And it's something that he has to prove to everybody for the longevity of his career in baseball. Because the worst little, you know, sticker you can have is that you're fragile, and no one wants ever to be called that as an athlete and a ball player. But look, I think he had a little bit of bulk. He's stronger. Some of those plays were freak plays that he got hurt on, and hopefully he is, because he could have an absolute monster season and be on base all day long for those guys behind him to drive him in and play, and just fun to watch at shortstop as well.
So, Mac, you brought up something that I think is going to be interesting to see when you talked about how with this shortened schedule, you want to play the hot hand. You don't have time to sit that guy down or anything. And I remember Ned Yost used to always say that he followed Bobby Cox's rule of when a guy would be struggling for 2 or 3 weeks and he thought it was about time to pull the guy out of the lineup and let him rest and try to get his thoughts back together, he would wait an extra week. And almost invariably that extra week, the guy would turn things around and keep, and start hitting well, and then he would be able to keep him in the lineup. How long do you let a guy struggle now? Like in a 60-game season, how long of a slump do you let a guy ride through before you say we got to put somebody else in there?
Well, again, when Ned was talking about that, I think he was, you know, dealing with the fact of a veteran ball player who has been a proven major league player. There are not too many of those on this Royals roster with all the young kids on there, so it's going to have to be sooner rather than later because it is such a mental part of the game. You know, you can hit two balls on the barrel, not get a hit, and then think that there's something wrong with your swing mechanically because you didn't get a hit. And then it turns into a vicious cycle, and you do need to back some of these young ball players up and get them off the field and get them mentally ready and set and calm down so they can go back out and try and get it. Because the one thing you're trying to do as a young ball player, and a lot of these are, and some of these guys that have been in AAA that have moved up and got a little bit of a taste of it, they want to prove that they're everyday major leaguers. And, boy, is that a heavy and great amount of pressure that you can put on yourself and really have an effect. And they're not going to be able to go that long with these guys. Because 7-8 games, you're going to do that out of 60. Do the math. That's not much time.
All right, this is very important, Mike McFarland. People are going to be writing this down, and they will never, ever forget. Give us first, do you have the over or the under? Jake, Vegas Jake has set it at 24.5 wins for the Kansas City Royals. Do you have the over or the under in the 60-game season?
Over. Optimism.
That's
because
right.
We're going to get two horses back in the rotation.
Did you by any chance hear the prediction from Mike Boddicker,
made
everyone crazy?
Oh, hell, he probably said 8-52, something like that.
He said 33 wins.
Did he?
I have no idea what the hell was going on with him that day.
I think we should have checked his coffee, honestly.
Something. Yeah, exactly. Better check the meds first.
Okay, hey, that's
Jake. He mixed up the blood pressure pills with something else. I don't know.
Jake, next week, check Mike Boddicker's meds before we ask him for another prediction.
I can do that.
So then how many? Give us a number. You got the over. How optimistic are you? Give us a number. How many wins this year?
29.
That could be in the playoffs, sir.
And that was my next point. That could very well be in the playoffs. Because it's going to be, you know, everyone's going to pretty much beat up on Detroit. And we got a much better pitching staff than they do. I think we'll be able to survive. And then you got Chicago, Minnesota. I think Cleveland's going to be down. They're still going to be dangerous, but down. You can steal a few there. And then I just like to knock St. Louis around a little bit and beat up on the tired Chicago fans for the Cubs. And who cares about the Brewers? And let's just go get it. But I think they have a chance to surprise a lot of people. It's going to take one good run. You go out and win 10 out of 12, you're sitting pretty. You are sitting pretty. And this team, especially when you get Junis and Keller back, I think has an opportunity to do it. Call me an optimist, but I'm looking forward to watching these kids play.
And you said the Indians might be down. Do you think so? You have the Twins winning the division?
Yes, but right there with the White Sox right next to them. Possibly someone's going to take a fall. Someone's going to get sick. We've already had our taste of COVID. The Twins and those guys, they haven't had any yet, but. You know, you got to believe at some point some big name's going to drop from this during the course of the season and have a major effect on the race.
Well, I mean, just look last night, Juan Soto, one of the best
players
in all of baseball.
Yeah, horrible.
Yep.
And who knows the ramifications from that, especially since he played in the game and was around everybody on Tuesday. There's a lot of problems to be sorted out, and hopefully everybody's okay there.
Mac, thank you for the time. Happy opening day to you, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
That's our man, Mike McFarland. You had no idea he had that type of hair when he was a youngster, did you? Unbelievable.
That is a great head of hair.
Beautiful. Beautiful hair. Nate, you couldn't have hair that big, could you?
Oh, I wish, man. I wish. That's amazing.
Jake's
I love
guy
to see him
off.
Try to fit that hair inside of a catcher's helmet.
That's
you know?
What Oscar Gamble, that if you Google
exactly
Oscar
right.
Gamble, it's fantastic.
Exactly right. So that's Mike McFarland. You can see that beautiful picture of Mac on my Twitter feed at SSJWHB. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.